Oh, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Indeed, and this week on City Counselling, we are joined by Councillor Richard Hills to discuss the bridge crisis, the Harbour Bridge, for those who are out of the loop or are not listening in Tamaki Makaurau, experienced some damage when a truck was blown over in the wind earlier in the week, if not last week, I believe. So that obviously caused damage as well to traffic patterns throughout Tamaki Makaurau. So I started by asking Councillor Richard Hills what he had noticed as the North Shore Ward Councillor and the effects that he thought it was having on his community and the wider community of Tamaki Makaurau.
Yes, so the first couple of days were extremely disruptive, probably for the whole of Auckland, but especially for the North Shore. The bridge, obviously the 4-ton beam being replaced on Wednesday with a temporary fix, helped and alleviated a lot of the problems. But yeah, we have been encouraging people to take public transport or work from home across the week. Monday was really bad. I guess people getting used to the change, but also I think a lot of people were trying to find an on-ramp closer to the bridge, thinking that might make their trip a bit faster, but it just really clogged up all the local roads. So quite interestingly, we did see quite a big uptake in ferry and bus use on the Monday, but then by Tuesday we saw a dramatic rise in people using public transport and working from home, which was good, which made the traffic a little bit lighter. And then Wednesday morning it was lighter again, and then that third lane opened, which was a big help. But also we're still encouraging people till we get the fix, permanent fix to the bridge, which could be a couple of weeks, to make sure that they continue to work from home if they can and take public transport where possible, to free up the rest of the road space for people who really need to drive or have to have their cars during the day for work.
Do you think that this perhaps has drawn wider attention to how we actually use the bridge and how we use our harbour crossings and how we should use our harbour crossings?
Yeah, definitely. There's a few things that have kind of collided at the same time. So normal public transport use was really low. The government had allowed people to sit next to each other again only a week before, but people are still a little uneasy. You know, masks are still compulsory, and so the public transport in general was low. So there's been an issue there, because usually we'd have far higher users of public transport if there wasn't the COVID levels happening. But also, this is a once in a 70-year incident that's happened. It's sort of a freak incident. It does show what can happen with only one major crossing. We do have the Greenhithe Bridge and State Highway 18 and 16, but you know, my opinion is that Waka Kotahi, the government's transport agency, shouldn't have been encouraging people to go that way, because it just clogged up the whole of the northwest and the west motorways for all those residents over there and the North Shore residents. But it has further escalated my push and my kind of advocacy for next harbour crossing, a new public transport crossing, which I've been advocating for over a decade now, and that we've finally got budget for in 2018. So under the last government, we've got what's called ATAP, which is the Auckland Transport Alignment Project. And under the last government's plan, we could only get them to put a crossing in the kind of plans for 2038 to 48. But thankfully in 2018, with a new government, we were able to negotiate to move that forward 10 years to 2028 to 38, sometime between there. And they allocated $61 million to route protection, design, business case work and other stuff. So that's underway. It was supposed to be released, so a business case for a new crossing was supposed to be released about June, but it was delayed due to COVID. So I think that's about November. So we're moving forward a lot faster than we were a couple of years ago, but it's still going to be some time that we have a future crossing, because of the cost and also potentially because of the land you might need to purchase then.
You've been, I think everyone can note and see that you've been advocating for this for quite some time. The National Party have included this in their campaign targeting Auckland voters. Would the harbour crossing that you propose pair different to perhaps that proposed by the National Party?
Yeah, I mean, it's good that the National Party have sort of caught on to the other parties. I think Labor and the Green campaigned on it last time, and that's why it's finally in the plan. So I think now all parties are looking at that same 2028 date, so it's good to have agreement there. You know, I'd prefer it to be earlier, but I'm realistic around how long these things take. The National Party is offering quite a lot of road as well. I would prefer public transport only, or at least public transport first type options, because what people don't realise, and a lot of people think, you know, especially in a situation like this where there is considerable traffic issues, congestion, if you add more lanes, you have to add more lanes to the motorways either side. So it's not just, you know, yay, we've got more lanes going under the harbour. It will mean considerable land take, potentially getting rid of parks and reserves, like we saw with the Northern Corridor up near Rosedale. I think with that 10,000 hectares of parks and reserves that got cut up for that motorway. And it would mean a number of houses would have to be likely demolished and things like that. So there's a lot to consider when you're considering a massive new roading project, because you can't just have a pinch point for the rest of the motorway and have a big wide bridge. And often the bridge, in my experience, like even on Wednesday morning before the fix, you know, I got the Northern Busway, took me 13 minutes on the bus from Constellation to Fanshawe Street. So there are really good options now, but I think light rail in the future across the harbour would pick up some other communities and really reduce the reliance of cars over the bridge, but also not allow us to cut up large parts of our communities for cars, which would then also fill up the CBD with cars, which we've seen a drop or a stagnation of vehicles entering the city over the last 10 years. So you wouldn't want to encourage the opposite of that.
Right, and so would that be in the form of a tunnel, or are we thinking a secondary bridge as being more likely?
I'm open to either. I think it sounds like everyone who I've heard so far is sort of aiming for a tunnel. It'll be interesting to see the business case at the end of the year, which is better. The previous kind of high-level documents have always said a bridge would be far cheaper and far faster and much easier to do. Tunnelling requires obviously a lot more time, a lot more money. Another bridge may be harder to consent because of views maybe or effects on the harbour. But the other thing people need to realise, if there is a tunnel, there will be large, you know, I guess they're not smokestacks, they're ventilation shafts that would have to come out pretty close to places like Northcote Point, Devonport, in the centre of the city, which, you know, you have to weigh up which is going to be more disruptive and ugly. So that's all what will come out in a business case and design work. So I'm definitely open to both, but I think if a long-term sort of, if a bridge is faster, easier to consent, cheaper, then, you know, I'm open. I'm open to look at either. I just kind of think that it's time that we had a more resilient crossing of the harbour.
Are there any dangers to the harbour itself and bringing transport even closer to the water?
There will always be environmental effects, and that's what will have to be weighed up, I guess. At the moment, obviously, there's already a bridge over the harbour, and the environmental effects and the way the stormwater is treated is much, much better than it used to be. You know, there's been work consistently done on the current bridge and the motorway to improve that, but there's always, you know, going to be an effect on, especially Shoal Bay. I mean, Shoal Bay is an ecological area. There's a lot of New Zealand native birds and endangered species in that area, and it's right next to a motorway, such as the Dotterell, which are, you know, I think there's only about 2,000 left in the whole country/world. So there's a lot of things to think about, but a tunnel or a bridge will have significant cost to the environment. So it's how we ensure that and make sure everyone has a say on how that happens.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95 BFM.